Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Isaiah. To the book of Isaiah in chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 14. Well, I love that music. Ian Hazard was playing that piano, and Sean Foray was singing right here. Man, that was awesome. Ian, it's good to see you, buddy. And Sean, thank you for singing, and all of our team and their part in leading us in worship. I love that song. You turn graves into gardens, bones into armies, seas into highways, and you're the only one who can. That's a great song. I don't know that song, but I'm learning it, and I love the words. It's awesome. We have all kinds of people here at North Central Baptist Church, and all people are welcome here, every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single. Some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many watching us today and many in this building today are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus Christ and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. What does the world need right now at Christmas? What does the world need right now at Christmas? I pray that you had a great Thanksgiving. You know, this COVID-19 pandemic is affecting our lives. I read where shopping on Friday, on Black Friday, was down. Now, I'm not upset about that, at least for me and for Kelly. But sometimes when it's wide open, I spend more. So anyway, but I heard that it was down. I read about it where it was down, and they said the lines were low. Due really to limits, they had some lines, but they were really due more to limits of how many people could be in the stores rather than just huge numbers of shoppers that were out there. But they didn't have any great numbers. By the way, the Denver Broncos are playing the New Orleans Saints today at 4:05 p.m. without a quarterback. Really, honestly, COVID has hit the NFL. And what's happened is our guy Jeff Driskel, you remember Jeff Driskel, played for the Gators and then transferred to, I think, Louisiana Tech. He was drafted in 2016 and he ended up on the Broncos this year. He's a backup quarterback, and he ended up getting COVID-19, and the NFL is doing all kinds of tracing. And because they set in motion their plan, they traced Jeff Driskel in the presence of all the quarterbacks for Denver. And so by rule, no quarterback from Denver can play today. So they're working on, they called me up and I said, I'm busy, I'm preaching today. But anyway, they're working on how to play the game today. I think they're going to have a running back who played quarterback in college or high school. He's going to be the quarterback. So COVID has definitely impacted even the NFL. What does the world need right now at Christmas? I want us to think about that. You know, it is sometimes all of this that we've been going through as a nation, as a world, really, is taking its toll. They're saying that loneliness, I read this week, that loneliness is really a big problem in this pandemic. It's putting a strain on existing relationships. Now, I read this week, and it really startled me. It said that loneliness and poor relationships affect our health and our mortality more than smoking and obesity. Loneliness and poor relationships. What the world needs right now at Christmas. Now, we're entering into a season that some call Advent. You may have heard that. I did not grow up with the idea of Advent, although I heard it and I saw it, but I'm learning about Advent. But the word Advent means coming. It's us looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And there's two senses to Advent. There's the sense that we're looking forward to Christmas Day, the representation, the day we celebrate that Jesus came into the world and all that that means. But it's not just his first advent, it's his second advent we look forward to as well. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we keep Advent by looking forward to the coming of Jesus. You know, looking forward to something can get you through it, can get you through things. I think about these football players, you know, they have two-a-days. And at the beginning of the football season, they get out there and they have a practice, 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. They go 2 hours. They take a little break and they come back again. It's one thing to go to practice once in a day, but they go for two-a-days to get ready, to really get psyched up and ready for a new season. You can make it in two-a-days knowing that day it's going to come to an end. You can get through things knowing that eventually the end is coming. And the idea of Advent is we are looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and we anticipate that coming of the Lord. When he came as a baby in the manger, and then the idea that he is coming again. It's amazing when you consider the power of hope. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." I talked about the impact on our health when we're lonely and when we don't have good relationships. Well, if you don't have hope, if hope is deferred, oh, I think something's coming, but it never comes. Oh, I think that's going to happen, but it never comes. Oh, I think it'll happen, but it never comes. As long as hope continues to be deferred, it makes the heart sick, the Bible says. But hope has a lot of power. Hope has a lot of power. And when we think about Advent, there are some words that relate to the coming of the Lord at Christmas time that have been identified. Here they are. The word hope, these are some words. There's actually five of them that are associated with this. But I added one, so I've got six that are going to take us through the whole Christmas season, even into December the 29th, okay? So today we're going to talk about hope, the word hope. Here's the second one, love. What does the world need right now at Christmas? Well, I think it needs hope. I think it needs love. That's December the 8th topic. December the 15th is peace. December the 22nd is joy. The world needs joy. And then on Christmas Eve, you know what our emphasis is? You need to be here on Christmas Eve for the Lord's Supper because our emphasis that night is the word light. That is an Advent word. Jesus is the light. He brings light to the world, and he's challenged us to be the light of the world. And then on the 29th, I added one, the word change, because the gospel and the coming of Jesus brings change. But today is the hope of Christmas. With all the difficulties that we face, ladies and gentlemen, Christ gives us hope. Amen? Christ gives us hope. Hope has a lot of power. I heard the story. Actually, John Maxwell, some of y'all have read some of his books. John Maxwell tells a story of a man who went up to a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked a boy in the dugout, he said, "Hey, what's the score?" And the little boy looked through the fence. He said, 18-0, we're behind. The man said, boy, I'll bet you're discouraged. He said, why should I be discouraged? We hadn't even got up to bat yet. The kid had hope. He had hope that even though they were down 18-0, that they were going to get to bat. And they were going to come back and make the victory. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, the people of God were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And the message that God gave to the people in the Old Testament was this: hold on. Hold on to what God says. Hold on to what the Lord has called you to do, because the Lord is coming. The Messiah is going to come. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 7. Go back to chapter 7, and we're going to start there. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse, actually, I'm going to read verse 11 through 14. This is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. And this is Isaiah speaking to Ahaz, the king of Judah. He says, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Then he said, hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Verse 14, and here's the thrust of our passage today. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Our first song today, we talked about Emmanuel today. We sang about Emmanuel, God with us. Dovetails perfectly into the message today that the scripture says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah was speaking to Ahaz in Judah. It was about 734 B.C. He wanted to encourage him because there were two kingdoms. There was Israel to the north. You remember, we were in the period of the divided kingdom. Israel at one time was all together, but then Judah split off from Israel. Israel was in the north. Judah was in the south. And there was a time when Ahaz was the king of Judah in the south. And there were two kingdoms that conspired against Judah. They were going to attack Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem was in the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Israel and Syria had come together, and they were going to attack Jerusalem. They were going to attack Judah. And Isaiah was saying, you need to hold on. The Lord's going to take care of this. Well, he said to Ahaz, the Lord wants to give you a sign. Wouldn't you like to have a sign that God is in control? Well, Ahaz said no. He acted pious. Now, Ahaz was a wicked king. He had done some terrible things to disobey the Lord. And yet, in the midst of his disobedience, he got all pious there in our passage that we just read. He said, oh no, Isaiah, I don't want to ask the Lord for a sign. I don't want to put him to the test. Well, in verse 14, the scripture says, therefore the Lord himself will give you, and by the way, that's a plural you. He was not talking to Ahaz. He's going to give the people a sign. If Ahaz did not want a sign, he's going to give the people of God a sign. He said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So, the Lord was going to give Judah a sign that God was in control. And sure enough, he told him that in just a brief time, this alliance will go away and they'll be destroyed. Well, Ahaz had conspired to link his life with Assyria, another enemy of God. And he knew that he had made that alliance with Assyria. And so rather than trusting in God, he said, I'm going to join up with Assyria and we're going to go after those two. Well, what ended up happening is that eventually Assyria defeated those two just as God had said it was going to happen. The Lord was giving Ahaz a promise. Many believe this was a child of Isaiah. His wife had died, and he took a new wife who at the time of this writing was a virgin, and then she gave birth to a son. And in the period of that time, in the early years of that son's life, God delivered on his promise. In other words, the Lord was trying to give Ahaz and the people of God hope. So here's some things that I want us to think about when we think about the world needs hope. The blessing of hope at Christmas is this. Number one, the promise of hope. And in this section, in chapter 7, verse 14, he gives them that promise of hope. And sure enough, as history notes it, the alliance between Israel and Syria ended up busting up within 2 years after that child was born. That child, that literal child that happened back in 734 BC. And so then in Matthew, the Lord brings this promise to the time of Jesus' birth, and he prophesies in the same way that this prophecy was made about Ahaz. The people of the Old Testament have a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that in Matthew. Now, I want you to look over at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah was responsible for giving all kinds of prophecies about the coming Messiah. I don't have time to give all of them to you, but there are over 20 prophecies in the book of Isaiah. For example, in chapter 49, verse 1, he will be called before his birth to be God's servant. Number 2, he will be born of a virgin in chapter 7, verse 14, which is what we just read. He will be a descendant of Jesse and thus in the Davidic line, chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10. He will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, chapter 11, verse 2. He will be gentle toward the weak, chapter 42, verse 3. He will be obedient to the Lord in his mission, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. He will voluntarily submit to suffering, chapter 50 and verse 6 and following. And that is just 7 of the 20 prophecies about the future Messiah that is coming that Isaiah gave to the people. Well, he also gave them chapter 7 and verse 14, our text today. And then he gives them chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So within those 3 years, 2 or 3 years after Isaiah gave Ahaz that prophecy, within 3 years, we know that the Assyrian Empire busted up Israel and Syria. Now, what's interesting is after Assyria defeated Syria and Israel, Ahaz went to Damascus to meet with the Assyrian monarch. And while he was there, we find this story in 2 Kings chapter 16. While he was there, he saw an altar to a false god in Damascus. Here's how wicked Ahaz was. He brought that false altar and brought it back to the temple of God in Jerusalem. And because of that, God allowed Assyria to judge over Judah. God was very angry with Ahaz. And even after that alliance was broken between Israel and Syria, Judah had no peace. Why? Because they disobeyed the Lord and they did not understand the promise. So when you think about the Advent, you think about the coming of Christ, the Lord is giving us a promise to look forward to. He's giving us the hope of Christmas. He's giving us the hope that Jesus is going to change our lives and get us through the situation. Ahaz said, "No, I'm not going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in my human alliance." Sometimes we do that, ladies and gentlemen. We trust in our own alliances, our own way of figuring things out. And we said, oh, I don't want to put God to the test. That's what Ahaz did. Oh, I don't want to put God to the test. We act spiritual and pious. And the truth of the matter is, The reason we don't want to trust God is we've made other alliances. We've made other alliances with other things that will give us security, that will give us what we think is well-being, and yet God is saying, no, put your trust in me. God promises hope to those who will trust in him. That is really the message of Christmas. No matter what you're going through, and I know every family, every individual is different. We're going through things in our family. I'm going through things in my individual lives. I've been going just a week and a day ago, I was at a funeral, a memorial service right here. I was at a memorial service yesterday. People are losing family members. Things are happening, and I don't know what it is that you're facing, but the truth of the matter is what the world needs right now at Christmas is hope. Hope that Jesus Christ can get them through the situation that they're in. Think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about this phrase, for God so loved the world. For God. God's pattern is always to initiate love and initiate hope. Think about this. In the beginning, Genesis says, God created the heaven and the earth. He initiated forgiveness to Adam and Eve. He told Noah, he initiated the ark to protect Noah. He initiated a covenant to Abraham. He gave the prophets to the Old Testament, to the Old Testament people, to initiate his love and reconciliation to people. He is an initiating God. The Lord wants to initiate love to you, even in a crisis. Sometimes he's initiating love to you in a friend who is bugging you about Jesus. That happened to me when I was before I came to know Christ. I used to have people come to try to tell me about Jesus. I ran out the door. I told Mom, tell them I'm not here. You won't be lying. I'm not here. Boom, I'm gone. And she'd have to go to the door week after week and say to those men that were in my Sunday school class that were coming after, little Calvin. I was just in middle school and high school, the early years of high school. They would come see me. They were persistent. You know what that was? That was God initiating love to me. It was businessmen who had other things to do. They had families of their own, but they had the gospel on their heart, and they knew there was this little kid in a single-parent home who needed Christ, and so they kept coming. They initiated. God was using them to initiate love to me, and that's the way the Lord is. God is after you. God is initiating love, and he's wanting to give you hope in life. In Isaiah 7:14, that scripture says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. It is his initiation. It's from the Lord. And it says in that scripture, behold, which is a forewarning of a great event. Behold, the virgin. Notice it doesn't say a virgin. The virgin will conceive. And he shall be called Emmanuel. And Matthew 1:23 translates that for us. It means God is with us. This Christmas, God wants to give you and I a promise. He wants to give us hope that Jesus will help us get through any circumstances that we face. Maybe your circumstance is a lot more difficult than COVID. I kind of talked a little bit about COVID and how it's impacted our world, impacted us. But can I tell you this? There's people that are listening to me today, that are perhaps here today, perhaps watching us online, and COVID is the smallest of their problem. They've got other needs far greater. This Christmas, God wants to give you a promise. But sometimes we miss it. Don't miss it. Jesus came. He came for you. He's faithful. We sang about the faithfulness of God. You know, Polycarp, you may have heard that name. Polycarp was the bishop or the pastor at Smyrna. He, in 155, at the age of 86 or 87 years, He was burned at the stake. He was in Rome, and they came to get him. And one thing interesting about Polycarp, if you've ever heard of the book, The Fox's Book of Martyrs, this is all detailed out, his execution. They say that Polycarp was discipled by John. John, who wrote the book of John and the book of Revelation. Can you imagine? He was someone who was impacted directly by one of those disciples. You know, John died on the Isle of Patmos. And so he lived longer than most of the other disciples. And so Polycarp was discipled by John. They came to get Polycarp. And they said, if you'll recant and turn away from Jesus, we'll let you live. This was his response. He said, 86 years I have served him, and he has never done me injury. How then can I now blaspheme my King and my Savior? And those that recorded his execution said that the fire would not initially even get close to him. It was like the Lord was protecting him. And then when finally the fire consumed, there was just a glow over that whole scene there because of the life of Polycarp. You know, the Lord gives us blessing and the Lord gives us hope, and he is faithful. So the first thing is the promise of hope that we find at Christmas time. Here's the second thing. What's our need for hope? In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What is your real need? What is the world's real need? Why did Jesus have to come? Well, in several places in the Bible, it tells us. In Philippians chapter 2, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So the Lord came out of heaven. He came in the form of a man. He humbled himself and came in the form of a man. And then he became obedient to the Lord, even unto death, to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says it this way, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So our need for hope. Some people may not have come to the reality that they need what Christmas really offers, hope. Maybe they've been lulled by materialism. They've been lulled by immorality. They've been lulled by being their own God. But the truth of the matter is, we must tell them the truth, because the truth is, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In other words, we are going to stand before a holy God one day. We need the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, our need for hope. Christmas can sometimes be a discouraging time because family issues are magnified. Financial hardship is sometimes magnified because we're trying to keep up with others or do things that others are doing. And sometimes all these things are magnified. Sometimes we're concerned about things that aren't important. We should be concerned about our real problem. Our real problem is sin. We will face eternity without Jesus. So the hope of Christmas is needed by all because of our sin problem. Here's the third thing. What's the result of hope? You have the promise of hope. You have our need for hope. And then now the result of hope. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it declares both his humanity, a child is born, and his deity, a son is given. A child is born, a son is given. His humanity, a child is born, a son is given, capital S, the Son of Almighty God. And his name shall be called Wonderful. That is a word reserved for deity. Jesus was God's son, and he died on that cross, and it was God who placed his life in sacrifice for you. So he's Wonderful Counselor. The word counselor means to resolve. You know what hope does, the hope of Christmas does for us? It resolves the issues that we face. It puts perspective on the issues that we face. And so this is what Jesus has done at Christmas. He's our counselor. It means to resolve. And then it says, he's the mighty God. God is a warrior. He does battle. He does battle against sin. The only person that can take away that power of sin in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is like a spider web. It traps us. And Satan and sin has taken you down. Satan has sinned, and sin can take men down and women down and young people down. And yet the Lord is mighty. He's the mighty God. He is a warrior that can defeat Satan and destroy sin in our life. And then it says he's the everlasting Father. That phrase means he's the eternal protector. The Lord is the eternal protector of our lives. In John chapter 10, verse 28, it says this, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." The Lord is our eternal protector. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he is your eternal protector. And then it says he is the Prince of Peace. And the word peace there means your estate is whole. You finally found what you're looking for. You have peace with God. Your estate is whole. That means to be in safety. You know, the wise men in Matthew chapter 2, they had studied the scripture. They had studied the Old Testament. Remember, the wise men, they didn't have the New Testament, but they had the Old Testament. And they studied and they knew that a Messiah was coming, a future king was coming. And so they came and they worshiped because their hopes were fulfilled. Their hopes were fulfilled in Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, at Christmas time, you know what the world needs right now at Christmas? The hope of Christmas is what the world needs. It's what you and I need. Because Christmas gives us hope. In your darkest days, when you hear bad news, when you face difficulties in your home, the Lord can get you through it, because the Lord is our hope, and the Lord is the one who will never leave us or forsake us. Now, I heard the story of a submarine off the coast of Massachusetts that hit another ship, and the submarine sunk. The men in that submarine were trapped in that death trap, and they had limited air, and there were ships that came, there were divers that came. They came to try to help and get those guys out of that submarine. A diver went down in deep water, and he had a helmet on, but he put his head next to the submarine, and he could hear tapping. And in Morse code, the message came through from the inside as these men were rationing out oxygen to try to last. The message came through the tap. Is there any hope? They wanted hope. They wanted to know they were going to get out of there. Were they going to make it? And I think that's the message that our world is looking for. Is there hope? So here's what I would say to you as we apply this to us this Christmas time. Don't focus on the difficulty. Just like Judah, we have a Savior. We look around us and we see difficulty that we may face. Put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We have a Savior who will be with us. Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Many times we don't come out of the problem, but he gives us strength in the problem to make it. The other thing I would say is, in this life, we may have difficulties, but Jesus is coming again. And he will never leave us. He will never forsake us right now. And then the third thing I would say to you is this. Share this message with others. Because there are others out there who are looking. At this time, they're more open than ever before, ladies and gentlemen. They're more open than ever before to hearing a message of how God Almighty has initiated love to them and given them hope that there is an answer in the Lord. There is an answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.